Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, William, the Opinion Updike.
Hey guys, and I am Charles, what am I, Positive Chuck Mockler?
Positive Chuck Mockler? Humble Chuck Mockler?
I said positive in one of our promos, and then I started saying honest during the pod, so I'm going to switch it back. It's a rebrand. I'm back to a Positive Chuck Mockler.
Positive Chuck, guys. whole new guy. Whole new host, practically.
Happy to be here. Happy to be positive.
Anyways, so today we're going to be introducing our new Wednesday segment, which is going to be called What Could Have Been or Parallel Universe. We haven't really decided. Essentially, it's going to be like a look back on what could have happened in the NBA if certain things would have panned out a little bit differently. We're going to try to focus on Clipper stuff, but if there's something real juicy league-wide.
Yeah, usually going to be probably injury-type stuff, but this week we have an organizational-type one. After that, we're going to talk about the fracas that ensued between Draymond and Tristan Thompson after the NBA Awards.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into some NBA goss, you know us.
And then a little bit of talk about, there's just been some buzz lately about the Inglewood Arena and the renderings that are going to come out for that. So.
And find out who's the largest Clipper. Hint.
Everyone knows who it is. You should know who it is. More right after this. All right, guys, we are back from that wonderful advertisement. Right off the bat, this just happened probably about 10 minutes ago. Melo cleared waivers for the Hawks.
Yeah.
So he can now, most likely the reports are he's going to inform the Rockets he intends to sign a one-year, around $2.5 million contract.
Yeah, maybe the best Hawk in the history of the Hawks. Zero turnovers,
technically 100%. Field goal percentage.
Yeah.
Is it technically? Probably
not. I don't know. Well, he didn't make any, so unclear. Also, highest paid Hawk of all time. Oh. 25 mil for 5 days.
Definitely the highest paid Hawk of all time. That's a good thing they can hang their hat on. My co-host, Will the Opinion, tends to think this is going to be a bad year for the Rockets.
Yeah, it just depends on how some of the other chips fall. I think that losing two really good defensive kind of 3-and-D guys and replacing them with Melo.
Carmelo.
And like I do like Melo a lot. I still think that there are some positive facets to his game, and he definitely could be a contributing member to even a possible championship team.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't see him as a net positive given what they've lost in this offseason.
Yeah, because you said they're kind of in that win now mode, but that weird, like the 1 year win now where it's like, let's get all these guys together and hope it works out.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it looks like with the rest of their signings. There's some chatter, if I may borrow the term, out there.
I do love chatter.
About possibly ditching Ryan Anderson. And right mm-hmm. now it looks like the targets would be possibly Nick Batum from the Hornets. Or Kent Bazemore, also from the Hawks.
And J.R. Smith.
Yeah, J.R. Smith. I don't know if that would involve Anderson or somebody else. I guess they have probably pretty comparable contracts.
Yeah, and I guess out of those three, for entertainment factor, I like J.R. Smith as the best pick out of those three.
I loved J.R. Smith and Melo in both Denver and New York.
Oh, yeah, they've played on a lot of teams together.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But I think that like Nick Batum would be an awesome match. He is an upgrade to Trevor Ariza, better 3-point shooter, great defender. As long as he can stay healthy.
If he can stay healthy, he'd be like the smartest pick of those guys, I think.
Yeah, I mean Kent Bazemore is good too. I still think like of all those names to me, my guy Nick Batum would definitely be the highest one up there. But I think that kind of is definitely that win now mode in a way where like.
That's a first-round pick. Like, reading that, processing it, I'm like, they're giving up that first-round pick, and if injuries happen, I mean, the Rockets are capped out with four players.
Yeah, they're already capped out. Nick Batum is owed something like $75 million over the next 3 years.
And the guys they're looking at, yeah, all have pretty crazy contracts.
So, yeah, it's a win-now mode in a way that's, like, not just win-now, it's, like, win this season.
Yeah, I think that's a really good insight in terms of what people define as now, because I think a lot of the times you hear win now and you think, oh, a 2 to 3 year window, 2 year window, this is very much a like we're winning this season or we're screwed.
Or we're done. Yeah, like I would define teams like Portland, the Trailblazers, as a win now team. I do think that like any move that they can make to immediately win or like immediately advance themselves for like say the next 3 or so seasons while they still have Dame and McCollum in their prime, I think that they would do those moves.
Pacers, another win now team that seemed to make all the right moves this offseason.
Yeah, so another far. Yeah, win now team, but like this is win now to the nth degree because it's not just like getting a high seed in the playoffs or something. It's finals or bust to me. If this is the win now team that you're assembling.
And there were so many what ifs with last season that it's like, yeah, what if Chris Paul didn't get hurt, but also what if Iggy played those games?
Yeah.
You know, like I think they're kind of assuming they would have just won.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, I don't know. It's definitely
which I think
putting a lot of eggs in a single, very small basket.
And I think like it's good to kind of think like, oh, we would have won that game. But you should maybe really think that as a player and not as an owner who's like, well, we basically won that series.
Yeah.
So all we need is this one piece. It's like, but you didn't win the series.
So you think Morey's a moron is what I mean.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that.
Daryl Morion, as Charles often says.
I will say I was one of the people who didn't think Chris Paul and James Harden would work, so I can't really say anything bad about.
I think we might have touched on this before, but I think that idea is foolish.
Yeah, it was dumb. I really should have just known that they were going to work. What else is going on? A little not as pressing information. This Draymond Green, Tristan Thompson, hullabaloo.
Yeah, so they've always very apparently hated each other on the court.
Yeah, which I didn't think it would ever bleed. I really thought, because apparently Tristan Thompson is the one who, like, Draymond tried to apologize to him. It was after the NBA Awards, and Draymond was like, hey, man, I was just, whatever, heat of the moment. We were playing in the championship series. Things get heated. And he tried to apologize, and Tristan said no. And then Draymond tried again, and then Tristan apparently socked him in the face.
Interesting.
I never thought I would side with Draymond Green, but I'm on his side in this one.
I don't know. Do they serve alcohol at the NBA Awards?
This was an after party.
Oh.
So you got to assume. And I think the reason it took so long to come out was because those kinds of things, from what I understand, are like, you leave your phone at the door, you sign an NDA.
Totally.
For that kind of stuff. So, like, now that it's finally coming
out. The kind of parties that I regularly go
to. Yeah, Will's always at those parties. But no, I think it's insane for Tristan to have done this.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. He's always seemed like kind of a hothead, and I think just in the past year, his decision-making has definitely
not been the best.
And become very public.
Yeah.
I kind of like, though, that the Cavs fans are all about it. They're having a parade in Tristan Thompson's honor to celebrate this momentous occasion.
I'm on everyone's side but Tristan's. I'm on the fan side because I would have had a parade too. We should have had a parade when Gallinari socked that fool at the Eurobasket.
Yeah. If it hadn't been a Clippers staff member, I would have had a...
Blake's back, for sure. But this just feels like, it feels extra by Tristan Thompson. I think he knew that people were going to break it up.
Yeah.
No one's going to let Tristan Thompson
beat
Draymond Green.
It's not like you're in a dark alley or something. It's not like you're like catching somebody outside.
It's
you're
millionaires.
In the middle of, yeah.
It's millionaires. You're all hanging out. You know people are going to stop you. But now people are talking about how great an NBA fight club would be.
Oof.
And I think Boban would beat everybody.
Yeah, that's...
Or LeBron. I think if LeBron...
I don't think I want to see that. Or think
no
about
one
it.
Wants to see it, but I think if LeBron did it, it'd be LeBron and Boban for the championship match. And I think Boban would maybe win?
I don't know, man. Something I don't really even want to think about.
Tristan is also like, I mean, all these guys are big, but Tristan's like got some reach and
he's probably some weight on
Draymond.
Yeah. I wonder how much of a square punch it was.
Well, the tweet was really annoying because the initial tweet I saw was like, Tristan levels Draymond Green with a punch, but then the next sentence is, but Draymond remained standing. I'm like, so
that's,
he didn't...
That's not leveling.
He didn't level him,
I mean, I wonder, A, how square the punch was, and B, like, in my mind, it's like a kind of a...
It was like a reach over a couple people punch.
Yeah.
Is what I envision, like, he maybe grazed him.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, he socked him.
To me, I just, like, picture two millionaires wearing monocles slap fighting.
Because
I think they wear monocles to their parties, I believe. Right?
Yeah, well, the NBA Awards is a monocle. You actually have to wear two monocles, which is very confusing for all the people who are going. But that, I mean, other than the Melo stuff, that's pretty much what happened in the NBA news-wise these past couple days.
Big stuff, guys.
We're in the dregs of information right now. So that was a rundown of what all the important stuff. We've had a Twitter beef and a real beef in the past week.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I hope NBA doesn't turn into professional wrestling.
You
know, with all the pomp and circumstance of like
I
calling.
I hope it does.
Oh, man. It's going to be a sad day.
Is there any way we could get Vince McMahon to co-commission with Adam Silver?
Adam Silver is so forward thinking, I think he'd be into it. When are we going to get an XBA? Like the XFL? But in this one, I guess, I don't know, you could be drunk. I don't know how it would be different.
You get like a travel is only called like after five steps.
Yeah, travel is only called after five steps, and it's 7-on-7.
No 3-second rule.
No 3-second rule. All right, so I guess we can transition a little bit into some Clippers type stuff. This is coming up, I guess, as a segment I'm pretty excited for. What could have been Wednesdays or Arrel Universe? We're still on the fence about the name.
Still on the fence.
This week, for what could have been Wednesdays, I was kind of looking at when Ballmer purchased the team and what other groups were involved with it.
Yeah, and what could have kind of come out of the post-Sterling era?
The group that was right, there were a couple groups in the mix, but the top two were Ballmer's group, and then a group consisting of Oprah, David Geffen, the music mogul, and then the owner of Oracle, Larry Ellison, who only offered, apparently, it was just a shade under the $2 billion. So it seemed like it was a close.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, the situation, Sterling was trying to get all the money he could, so he took the highest offer.
Yeah. I mean, well, he was forced to sell.
Yeah, forced to sell. But it got me thinking how crazy it would be to have an ownership group of Oprah on it.
Does she currently have a stake in any sports team?
I don't think so, but I think, and I don't think she's shown interest.
Okay.
Other than this Clippers team.
Interesting.
And so I really, I think it would have been a train wreck.
Yes.
I think it would be worse than it is now.
Yeah.
It's going great now. I'm not saying that now is bad. But, like, I think when you get, because the Clippers right now, Ballmer wanted to bring in a lot more family-friendly stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the changing of the mascot, like, that kind of thing. And I think with that other ownership group, it would have been, I think they would have tried to rebrand as, like, a weird Showtime Part 2 thing.
Ooh, that's an interesting thought.
You know, because Geffen's like a slick guy. Ellison obviously has a lot of money and is like new money. And Oprah wants to stay. I mean, I have nothing bad to say about Oprah, obviously. But I think it would have been like, I think we may have gotten like worse uniform redesigns.
Ooh.
I think they would have tried to go even more futuristic with stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think the mascot would be if David Geffen, Oprah, and Larry Ellison were the owners of the team?
Oh, I don't even know.
If they're not bringing back the old sailor, I don't want to even see what the mascot's going to be.
Or just, the sail? Why not just have like a wind sail? Sailie?
Sailie the wind sail? Dude, would someone run out with the wind sail?
No. He's just a big sail.
He's just a big old sail. I guess I'd like that. I picture it with David Geffen. For some reason, I just think of a giant pile of cocaine when I hear about David Geffen. I have no proof to back this up.
It's not Tony Scott.
Yeah, he's probably listening. I'm so sorry, Mr. Geffen. But I picture, like a sleek, like Hollywood type trying to rebrand the team. I think it would have been way worse. I'm happy Ballmer owns the team. I think everyone's pretty psyched on that.
The big dog.
Because he cares about the team, too.
He does seem to care about the team.
He's at most games, and I don't think any of these people would go to a game after the first week.
That's a good point, yeah.
Oprah, I'm assuming, doesn't live in LA.
How active do you want your owner?
I think Ballmer is the perfect amount of active.
I think you're right. I was kind of worried about how active he was, especially coming into the draft, because, you know, he was a big Porter Jr. guy, Seattle guy. And that really worried me. I want nothing to do with Porter. And I'll eat my hat or whatever if he ends up being a really good NBA player. I'm good on the injuries.
He did get the most revolutionary back surgery, according to Michael Porter. So we'll see how that works out. But I think him and Paul Allen, I have to assume, are friends because they're both rich Seattle billionaires. Paul Allen's a great owner, too, because he's like, I really enjoyed the team. I want them to win, but I'm just going to shut up.
Yeah.
I know. And I think when Ballmer was talking about that Michael Porter stuff, it really freaked me out too. But one of the nice things was a couple times he'd be like, kind of say things like, but I don't really know what I'm talking about. Because he only watched Michael Porter play basketball. He doesn't watch college basketball.
Yeah.
But I think like when you get tech guys or like someone as influential as Oprah, obviously, I think sometimes maybe they think there's pressure for them to like disrupt how usual teams are run.
Yeah, and I think that there's like an impulse, or they feel outside pressure to really put their own kind of spin or mark on it.
Yeah, like, and obviously out of these three people, I would have wanted Oprah to put her biggest stamp on this team.
I'm fine with that.
Everyone would have gotten free stuff at every game, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, free mini basketballs, that would have been great. But I think, everyone's happy Ballmer bought the team.
Who, like, what are some dream owners that could have could have come out of the woodwork to buy the team?
Dream owners in Los Angeles. I think at the time, I don't know if he could have done it, but now he could. I think Dr. Dre could have gotten a group together.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
He's got... Isn't he the first hip-hop billionaire?
Yeah, when Beats sold.
Yeah. There was a group that involved Magic Johnson who was in the talks for it.
Interesting. But they only offered... I think he's kind of busy.
Yeah, and they only offered, like, only $1.2 billion?
Chump change.
No, I think a group with Dr. Dre would have been great.
I think Church of Scientology should have bought it.
Oh, man. Wow, that poses a pretty crazy question that probably for a longer form podcast. Could they buy a team?
Yeah, why not?
Is there a thing about religious affiliations owning a team?
I'd have to look into it.
There's probably not, though, right?
I just wouldn't
think so.
Like,
the Catholic Church.
I think if the money is there, like, can't you buy it?
Yeah, and I guess Donald Sterling would have been like, yeah, who cares? They're giving me $8 billion. I'm a racist. man, Church of Scientology, that's a trip. I'm going to be thinking about that forever.
Because they've just launched, they're launching, like, their own, it's already launched, their own television network. It seems like they're really, yeah, they're really trying to get that message out there.
Trying to change their horrible public perception. Because I'm pretty sure people have been murdered in the Church of Scientology. No one knows where the head of Scientology's last two wives are.
Interesting.
They've just, like, disappeared.
But I feel like owning a sports team, great way to get your message out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They'd be the Los Angeles Thetans or whatever the hell.
I don't think they would change the name.
They'd be the Los Angeles Tom Cruises.
Oh,
man,
that's not bad.
Here's the thing. If Tom Cruise was in the ownership deal, would you be okay with that?
Well, here's the thing is I think that, yeah, if Scientology, like, bought it, they would have all these celebrities lining the courtside
forced to be there.
Yeah.
And
Tom Cruise would be, like, the face of the franchise.
Oh, man, games would be weird as hell. It'd be a ton of Scientologists.
They'd probably have celebrities, though, like, jumping on trampolines and doing sick dunks.
Oh, yeah, I'm all for making celebrities do stuff if it involves trampolines. And this, I think it's funny to watch celebrities get injured because you don't think of them as real people. And so when they get injured, you're like, oh, damn, okay, yeah, he bleeds just like me.
Oh, God.
Man, what could have been if Scientology or Oprah would have ran the team?
Yeah.
Things would have been pretty... You think we would have had a championship by now, Scientology on the team?
Oh, definitely.
We would have had
some divine intervention.
Hey, from... Thanos? Is that their god? I don't know if it's Thanos. We're going to stop talking about religion before we get shut down by Scientology. So that's what could have been Wednesdays.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. If you guys have any input on what could have been Wednesdays, hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, if you think that there's a moment that could have shaken out drastically differently in the NBA or Clippers history, let us know. Also, what do you think of the name? What could have been Wednesday? Arrowel Universe?
We'll start a poll on Twitter. I personally... if I'm just being honest, oh, dang, no, I'm positive Chuck Monk right now. Dang it. I'm positively in love with what could have been Wednesdays. That was my pick. Arrowel Universe, I don't know, doesn't roll off the tongue as well for me. right now, we can get into the kind of the last 36 hours in Clippers stuff, yeah. I guess. And this kind of bleeds into the last thing we were talking about. There was an announcement that the renderings for the Inglewood Stadium are going to be released this fall.
Hold on to your seats, guys.
Chill out.
The renderings are coming in months.
In months. They just started a new Twitter. I think it's called Clippers Inglewood Stadium. It's like an official one. I followed it.
Have we talked about this?
Mm-mm.
How do you feel?
In my notes, I wrote down that I like the idea more than the actual execution because mm-hmm. I think I will, my income bracket will be priced out of games.
Yeah, I think that they're going to see a spike in ticket prices, which...
A big spike, I think. You can go to a game now. Last year, you go to a game for, let's call it $30.
Oh, yeah. Pretty regularly.
Pretty regularly.
For $30, you get tickets.
Yeah.
Like when they played the Pelicans, I think for as low as 10 or 15.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that the price hike will be both annoying and prohibitive, and I think is also kind of... the antithesis of what, like, the Clippers...
That's what I thought, too.
...thing is right now, which is, you know, being very, very, very friendly, like, the approachable LA
family
team.
Of four can go to a game. And yeah. I don't think with the Inglewood Stadium that... I mean, also, a lot of fans of the Clippers probably are going to used to have lived where the new stadium's going to be.
Yeah.
And so there was some kind of disheartening stuff going around a couple months ago about like eminent domain being used to get people's land.
Yeah, I think anytime a stadium is built,
and it's ripping people from their homes.
Yeah, it just kind of shows, I don't know, a darker side, I guess, of all
absolutely.
Of this.
Absolutely. The positive is that Ballmer said, I think he's going to fund everything himself, which every sports stadium should be funded
absolutely.
By the owners.
That's not a tax. That's
taxpayers have been getting bled dry for so long. But it does, I mean, it feels, you know, Inglewood's not going to have Inglewood. It's such a different thing. Because the stadium complex is going to be shops and apartments.
Oh, yeah. It's going to totally,
it's basically a mall with a stadium.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really going to change the face of that community, maybe not in the best way.
It just really depends anytime something like this happens.
But I'm generally worried that I think most working class fans will be priced out of games.
Yeah.
I guess my mind might change when I see these renderings.
They might really sell you on it.
They might really sell me on it. Also, real estate renderings are somehow light years behind graphic design in general.
Yeah.
Like, there's always those weird people who are, like, in mid-stride, but it's, like, blurry. And like.
So you can see how people are going to move in the space.
Yeah, and there's, like, Photoshopped couches and stuff. Like,
how do you feel, though, about no longer sharing a stadium with the Lakers?
I don't think it matters.
I have to agree. I don't really think it matters. I like the utilitarianism of the Staples Center.
In a city like Los Angeles, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, everything's spread out, so it's like, have a central location. It's near downtown, which is wonderful.
It's very convenient
for
me.
And downtown, as I've been brought up in the past couple years, as being an enjoyable place to be. And now it's kind of like, this is selfish as a fan. I don't like long commutes after games. Mm-hmm. I love the process of going to a game and maybe taking a while to get there because you're excited and it's palpable. But after a game, it's like, I love being able to hop on the train and just go home.
Uh-huh.
It's a couple of stops or whatever. But in Inglewood, it's like, you gotta, you know, there's a commute.
There's more of a commute for both of us.
But I don't know. I don't think we needed to, like, I mean, I guess the only reason people kind of feel inferior as Clippers fans in the Staples Center is just because of the championship banners for the Kings and the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, that's fine. It's our stadium when it's our stadium.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
definitely.
There's obviously an edge to Lakers fans when they play each other in the Staples Center. But that, I don't know. Let's just keep it, man.
Yeah.
Like, the Staples Center is also a wonderful stadium.
Yeah, great stadium. Great location.
Great location. Decent prices. There's a Ludo Bird chicken sandwich place in there, which is good. Anything else?
Oh, I guess not really strictly Clippers or technically even NBA news yet. But Boban.
Oh, yeah. Boban is the heaviest player. The King Boban and Prince Milos. Boban's the heaviest player in the NBA.
Yeah. 7'3", 200 and...
90 something, right?
I took a note.
It blows my mind. It's not... More than 300.
It is 290. 7'3", 290.
There was a thing that said if Zion Williamson, highly touted freshman at Duke, if he came into the league right now, he'd be the second heaviest player behind Boban.
Yeah, he's 6'7", 285.
Oh, man. That's...
Which is terrifying for, what, a 17, 18-year-old?
Yeah, who's developing a three-point shot. But this brought up the question, we can't wait to see these two meet at the rim. Because at some point, Zion's going to be going up for a dunk, and Boban's going to be there. And Boban is going to...
Both feet planted on the ground.
Both feet planted on the ground. Not even going to jump. Destroy that young man. It's going to be great. I think that wraps us up for this Wednesday edition of Locked On Clips.
Yeah.
I have been one of your hosts, Positive Chuck Mockler.
Are you sticking with that one?
I'm sticking with... I felt pretty positive today. I'm sticking with
you
positive.
You sound pretty positive. I think it's really... It's giving you a whole different aura.
I'm sticking with Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William, the Opinion Update.
You guys can find us at Locked On Clips on Twitter. Please get at us with anything you want to talk about on the show. What could have been Wednesday's parallel universe, if you will. But yeah, we'll see you guys on Friday.
Yeah. Thanks so much, guys.
Bye.